Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Lord, we ask that 2021 would be a year of great breakthrough. Lord, that 2021 would be a year of great infilling. Lord, that we would walk at the end of this year and look back and realize how much you've done. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, would you fall upon me and fall upon us as we listen and as I speak, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, every year, I haven't done it this year really, but every year I talk about at the end of this year, what do you want it to be like, right? And that's how we've gotten words that we do, you know, what's your word? And everybody in January begins to ask, you know, what's your word for the year? And, you know, I really believe God is doing something in the midst of all that's going on because he always does, right? He doesn't back away from what's going on. He jumps into what's going on. And I really believe, I shared this last week. If you didn't, we're kind of in a series. I really haven't labeled it, but we're on really Holy Spirit. We're talking about Holy Spirit and focusing on him, the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if I could say anything, I said this last week, you know, Dr. Doolittle, I talked about the Dr. Doolittle raid, not doctor, the Doolittle raid. He was not a doctor. He was a military man, a pilot, a commander, I think he was. And how when they went to go in World War II bomb Japan, that the only way they could do it was to lift off of an aircraft carrier, thank you, which I went home that day and I watched Midway, and you realize these were small planes that they were flying off of. And he took these big, and actually even the crew of the ship were like, what is this guy doing? Because these are massive planes. And he had this crazy idea, if I can get close enough, I will go and I'll do what I am called to do. But they had to strip down in order to do that. They had to take away things. So they literally stripped the plane down. So it was literally a flying shell with bombs and fuel. And I really believe we're in a season where the Lord wants to strip off some things that we've relied on without even realizing it. And as I'm studying it, you know, sometimes we prepare, and it's amazing, Rod, you would know it, how much God does in your own life. You know, and you begin to go, oh my goodness, you feel naked when you're sharing it because you realize this message is maybe more for you than others. But, you know, we really want to get to the heart of what God is doing. And we need to have some things stripped off in the body of Christ. I said it this way, last year was like a litmus test, or what we've gone through and seen kind of the where we're at as a body, you know, not just us, but as the body of Christ. It's like, Lord, would you heal us? And would you begin to remove things that we don't really need? But in the process also, would you give us things that we so desperately need? And Rod, I'm really convinced that a lot of the body of Christ is operating and functioning, believe it or not, and I can say this too at times, we're functioning without the person of Holy Spirit. And the more I read, the more I realize it is actually easy and to get, you know, we have this thing called familiarity, where we get familiar with something, and before you know it, you don't even realize that you've backed away from it. You know, I think of it like my wife, Krista, if we were to separate, you know, be separated, not separate, but be separated for a season, you know, I would miss her. I would miss her voice. I would miss her presence. I would begin to, you know, just long for that. And the problem is, the longer we go on, we begin to actually forget what we long for. But man, when we get in the presence again, we're like, oh yeah, this is what I was missing. This is why I'm so happy to be home, type thing. And so we really want to focus on Holy Spirit. And it's so powerful. I just feel like stopping and praying constantly, because it's like, Lord, I want your words, not my words. But church, the first thing we need to understand, I know a lot of you are so seasoned, this will feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but I encourage you, if you know a lot about Holy Spirit, I encourage you just to say, Holy Spirit, come afresh on me. Come new. Come into my life again. But what we need to realize first and foremost is Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. We know that. But Holy Spirit, I said this earlier, is not an it or a thing. Holy Spirit is a person, an angelic person, or a divine person, maybe would be a better way to say it, but he's not an it, and he's not just power. You know, if we think we're just needing Holy Spirit for power, we're missing just as much as, you know, we want to have a relationship with Jesus, we want to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. And so, you know, let's start right in the beginning, and we love in Antioch to go to Genesis, we always do. And we're going to go right to the beginning, because I want to point out something, and then we're going to talk about Holy Spirit, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. I have about three things I'd love to share, but I'll probably only get to two, maybe one. We'll see. But Genesis 1, verse 1. And I'll tell you, you know, the Bible is full of hope, and this is really, honestly, the greatest way to start if we can see what he is trying to say. Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, God the Father was there. He created the heavens and the earth. But look at this. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the waters, face of the deep. Some translations say waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God spoke, which is really Jesus' word, because he is the word. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. One of the things I want to start off with hope, you know, we look at those words and maybe they're unfamiliar, without form and void and darkness. But I want to give you a few definitions. Without form in the Hebrew, it says it's formless, it's in confusion, and it's in chaos. And void means emptiness and waste. I am so thankful, Rod, that in our confusion and in our chaos and in our emptiness right now, and I think we've all, you know, people are asking, we're all asking, hey, how you doing? And I think my common thing is, hey, I'm a little stir crazy right now. You know, maybe I'm a little empty from not seeing other people. But I'm so thankful as I read this that God the Father was there while there was chaos. He wasn't like, I'm getting out of here because there's chaos. He's like, no, there is chaos, so I'm jumping in. So God the Father was there, and then he's like, well, what do we need to do? Well, we need to straighten this out. So he sends Holy Spirit, because it says the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And one of the things that we may not realize is the Holy Spirit is the workforce that brings everything that the Father dreams of and Jesus speaks of. The Holy Spirit makes it happen. And I, you know, I'm coming to realize that without Holy Spirit, you think about that. Holy Spirit is the workforce that makes things happen. And if we're missing Holy Spirit, then everything that we're trying to do is going to be void of the presence and the power of God. I'm coming to realize that more and more. I think, you know, it is easy to pray to the Father and pray to Jesus, but we need to realize that Holy Spirit is the one that is making things happen. And hopefully I'll have a chance to go more into that. But I wanted to set the platform for you to realize that we can do nothing without Holy Spirit. Turn with me. Again, I encourage you to write these down and go after them. But John 15, because Jesus will voice this. Let's start at verse 4 in John 15. He says, abide in me and I in you as the branch can bear fruit, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I in the vine and you in the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and is and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We have to realize that even Jesus, he could do nothing of himself other than with Holy Spirit. And it is so important to understand that we need Holy Spirit to be functioning, not just to be somebody we're like, yes, I know Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. You know, I've heard of businesses. You know, I know a few people. Dr. Mike Brown, I actually had a chance to connect with him recently. And Dr. Mike is a connector. He loves to network people. Drew is another one. Drew loves to network people. You know, have you ever heard of a business that's doing well? Maybe Shark Tank comes to mind, where if, you know, you got a business, but man, if you can connect with one of these people, it takes your business to that next level. And, you know, it'd be somebody like Drew going, hey, you know, I know somebody from this side of the country that you need to connect with. And as soon as you connect with them, they've got keys and inspiration and ideas, and it takes your whole business to the next level. You could have stayed here, but man, you end up being way up here. And that is Holy Spirit. And I feel like in 2021, God is saying, hey, listen, I want you to connect with Holy Spirit on another level that you've never known. You know, and so if you're here, you're just getting to know Holy Spirit, he wants to take you to here. And if you're here, he wants to take you to here, because it never ends. It never ends. I think we'll learn about Holy Spirit when we get to heaven forever. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we'll be learning about him forever. Amen. All right, so what I'd like to do, I want to look at a few scriptures. This was even in your newsletter, setting the understanding that that Holy Spirit is here to empower us, but he's also a person. He's a friend. He wants to be with us. So turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to John 7 to start. We looked at this last week, and we also put it in the newsletter. I guess if I could call this series, it would probably be Holy Spirit, Living Waters. Just think about that, living waters. If you've ever gone by a pond that is dead, it stinks. But that is not what we're talking about, living waters. So John 7, 37 to 39, this is what we talked about last week. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. You think about that, that's interesting. They're at a feast. You know, there's a feast of food, and he stands up in the midst of a feast and says, hey, if you're thirsty, they're probably thinking, I got everything I need right here. He's like, no, you don't, actually. You think you do. You think you have a feast in front of you, all the food and all the drinks that you can fathom. But he's like, no, if anyone thirsts. So this is talking about that deeper thirst. I don't know about you, but right now I am thirsty for a deeper thing. And we could say, you know what, let's just go back to normal. But would we really want to miss the opportunity we're in? Would we really want to miss the opportunity to go, yeah, I could go back to normal and maybe I can get my sustenance from people and having that camaraderie. But what if in this season we could dive deeper into Holy Spirit, that he could be the one that quenches our thirst and our need for food? He says, anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's so awesome that he is sharing an opportunity that we can have something that will quench our thirst and fill us more than anything else in the world. And we need that in this hour. Amen? All right, turn two. We're going to go on a little trip here with John. Let's go to John 14. I love the things that he speaks through about Holy Spirit. So again, I want you to remember that Holy Spirit's a person. Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity. Holy Spirit's part of that workforce. He's the one that makes things happen. Let me describe it this way. It's like Father is the architect. You know, in Genesis, when he was dreaming about the world, Father had the architectural plans. And Jesus is like the foreman that comes in and says, all right, boys, we need to get some work done. But the Holy Spirit is actually the workforce that gets it all done. And I want to come back to that, because we really need to understand Holy Spirit is one that comes alongside and makes things happen. And I think for a long time as the church, we can get comfortable, you know, and we pursue Holy Spirit on a great level. But I think even in that, we can get comfortable with the okay or the good when he's like, yeah, but you could go to another level. And so we need to realize that. So John 14, verse 16, and this is Jesus talking. He's going to start to say some interesting things, at least for the disciples. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, I want you to stop and think. These are the disciples that are walking with Jesus that are seeing miracles happen. And he's beginning to already allude to the fact that he needs to leave and another helper needs to come. And you think about, you know, if they're, at first they didn't even honestly, they couldn't even wrap their brain around the fact that Jesus was going. Again, you got to remember something, that they're thinking messianic kingdom reign. They're not thinking spiritual kingdom. They're thinking earthly kingdom. They're basically following him, waiting for him to take his throne and take over Rome. That's what they're waiting for. And so he's going to start saying things. And of course, he says it all along, things that they're like, we don't quite get this. But he's like, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's talking about something that's going to happen in the future. But the disciples are not connecting right now. They're like, well, maybe they are, but they're thinking, this is great. So we're going to have Jesus as king and another helper's coming. Like, this is reinforcements to take over the Roman Empire, to take over the kingdom. This is how they thought. They were not thinking. They had no clue that Jesus was going to go to the cross and die. They had no clue that Holy Spirit was going to come. They were just trying to figure things out based on the paradigm that they live in. So he says, I'm going to send you another helper. It's so amazing. Another means actually, the word is allos, which means something similar or very like who I am. It's not something totally different. It's like you're gonna understand once this happens because you're going to recognize how it feels. All right, so let's go now to John 16. And we're going to start verse 5. John 16, verse 5, it says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. So now he's starting to say, listen, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm leaving. And sorrow is filling their hearts because they don't understand. They're like, Jesus, you're the king. You're the one that's going to take over. You're going to take over Rome. You know, you're going to rule and reign, and we get to rule and reign. There's arguments that break out about who's going to be on the left and who's going to be on the right, who's going to be the greatest. Like, they thought this was it. And he's like, you're finally getting that I'm leaving. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is, now I want you to understand, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, who we talked about two chapters earlier, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Okay, we gotta stick here for a second. I want to read that out of the Amplified for a minute. The Amplified says this way. It says, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper. Now, what I love about the Amplified, it describes these words. Helper, Holy Spirit. He says, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. He's like literally saying, you can't have one. I can't stay and you can't get Holy Spirit. And we're going to understand this. I'm going to unpack it. But he's trying to say, listen, it is an advantage if I leave. But they're like, no, we want you to stay. You're the king. No, I got to go. There's an advantage if Holy Spirit comes. Now, let's break this down for a minute. I actually got some stats here just for fun. All right. So let's for a second, Rod, imagine that Jesus never left. That Holy Spirit was not going to come. That he was like a person that we had to go to for wisdom. Because throughout the Bible, Holy Spirit and wisdom are directly connected. Holy Spirit and power are directly connected. Holy Spirit and comfort are directly connected. And so if Jesus stays on the earth, he's going to be one person. Although God is everywhere, Jesus, when he was on the earth, was one place at a time. And so he's saying, listen, it's an advantage if I leave. Now, let's say that he didn't leave. So let's look at that for a second. Here's some fun stats for you, if I can find them in my notes. All right, here we go. Let's say that Jesus didn't leave and he is somewhere that we have to get to for information, for comfort, for all that. So let's say that he's in Jerusalem still. He's in Israel. So picture that everyone in the world has to go to one place to see Jesus. Because that's what it was like back then. Everybody that needed to see Jesus to get healed, they had to find him, except for the Roman centurion that understood more, even though he had to actually see him and say, listen, you don't need to come, just say the word and it shall be done. But we need to understand that Jesus, wherever he was, miracles happen. And so we can imagine that, you know, he's in Jerusalem and everyone has to go to Jerusalem. So can you imagine for a second how busy the Tel Aviv airport would be? Like everyone in the world would be trying to get to see Jesus. All the hotels would be full. All the car rentals would be gone. Like it would be a nightmare to try to get to see Jesus. Now let's have some fun. If you had a chance to go see Jesus and you got in line, the lineups would be crazy and huge because everybody would be waiting for this one person that can either heal you, answer your question or something. So realistically, let's say that he can work 14 hours a day. And he could do that and could give each person 60 seconds. Because that's, you know, he's got to get through a lot of people. Can you imagine 60 seconds to you fly all that way just to be with Jesus because he's the one that can heal you. You got 60 seconds. So I want you to think about this. 14 hours a day, 60 seconds each person. That's 840 people a day. Can you imagine, first of all, just one person trying to do that? It reminds me of Moses. I've been reading about Moses a lot lately, and kind of reminds me, Jethro comes, and he's like, you cannot do this all day long. 840 people. It would take, listen to this, it would take 3.26 years to get through 1 million people once. It would take 326 years to get through 100 million people. In 2015, there was an estimated 2.4 billion people that were Christians on the earth. I know that it's just we're having fun with these stats, but you know what? We need to understand there is a reason why he said there's an advantage that I leave. And if we don't understand this, we really miss the fact that Jesus had to go because Holy Spirit had to come. Because one became a spirit, Holy Spirit, that could be invited into any person to do the very thing that Jesus did on the earth. Like, wrap your brain around that. So I don't have to go somewhere to find Jesus. I can simply say, Holy Spirit, you are in me. You dwell within me. I need to ask you the question that I would travel 1,000 miles or thousands of miles. I would ask that person. I can ask you right here. Now, it goes a little deeper. So just, did you fathom it took 100 years to get to 326 years to get to 100 million people? You wouldn't even get to a billion. Like, it would take forever to try to answer all these questions. But now we have Holy Spirit, but it goes deeper. He says, it's to my advantage that I go. Why does he have to go? Why can't he stay? Well, we got to remember that Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unpure vessel. Holy Spirit is holy. That's why they call him Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit cannot stay in a vessel that's impure. And with all the works that we try, with the law that was put in place, with everything that they did, there was no way that they could ever be really pure enough. God the Father put his Spirit upon people occasionally in the Old Testament. But we're talking about a mass move where he wants the Holy Spirit to dwell within every person. And the law shows us, and Romans talks about it, that you will fall short every time. The law of the spirit of death is working all over time, all the time. There is no way you will ever be good enough to have the Spirit of God dwell. And he's like, you know what? I got to solve this problem. It's your advantage that I leave. Their mindset is, no, you cannot leave. We need you. We do miracles through your name. If you leave, that power leaves. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Man, we got to wrap our brains, you know. I know this is, for many, this is, I'm preaching to the choir, but we have to understand that Jesus died on the cross so we could be totally set free, filled and made righteous by what he did, not by what we did. That's why he's saying on double levels, listen, I'm going to multiply myself through the Spirit of God, but listen, the Spirit of God can't dwell in you unless I leave, because unless I leave, I won't die on the cross, I won't be resurrected, and that Spirit of life will not rise up in you. It's the only way it works is if I leave. And I know that, you know, turn with me into Acts. I want to show you the disciples had a paradigm that they had a hard time breaking out of. So even, you got to realize, Jesus dies on the cross. They watch him die. Then he's raised again 3 days later. And this is after he's been walking around for 40 days talking to them. And I want you to hear what they say, what he says. Acts 1 verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So he's talking about Holy Spirit. This is the promise. This is the helper. This is the advantage I'm talking to you about. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now listen. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They cannot get off this. I love it. Like, it's kind of like us today. We're so fixed on politics. Now, again, we want godly politicians. But I think right now God is stripping things away from us so we can get back to the Great Commission. I said it last week. There are two things. He said, He said, pray this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You got to remember what they're thinking. They're like, good, the kingdom is coming. Woo, we're going to reign. We're the 12. We're the in ones. He's like, no, you guys still don't get it. Even here, after the resurrection, they're like, hey, can you tell us when you're going to restore the kingdom? When we're going to rule? And he's like, you guys still don't get it. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Church, this is the season where God wants us to get us back to bringing the kingdom and making disciples of nations. It was interesting. I was watching a secular gentleman the other day. He's great for just some different things and business and motivation. And I was so amazed, Rod. He said this. He said, I have not watched the news for 15 years. He says, I can't change it. He says, I can't control it. But he says, all I know is it brings me down. He said, when's the last time, these were his words, he says, when's the last time that you got so excited about watching the news that you went to your wife and you went, oh my gosh, you missed the 5 o'clock. You got to watch the 7 o'clock. You're going to be so filled and excited. It just doesn't work that way. And he said, I have not watched the news in 15 years. And he says, anything I need to find out, usually somebody will tell me. But he says, all I know is that if I can continue to work on myself and my family and what God calls us to do, we know things will get better. I thought, man, he's not even saved and he understands it better sometimes than even I do. Verse 8, Acts 1, verse 8. This is what he says. But you shall receive power. Okay, I'm going to stop again. He talked about the helper coming and he said, it's an advantage that I leave. So here he's starting to break it down. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He begins to break down for them. Listen, I know I'm leaving. I know I've left actually. I've died on the cross. I've risen again. You want me to stay again. I get it. But you're not understanding that if I don't go and send the helper, you're going to miss the advantage that I'm sending you. Holy Spirit is an advantage that we have as believers that we can, I want to say tap into, but I'm beginning to realize that those are words that talk about an it thing or a power thing. I can tap into power. You know, we're so used to Marvel if I could get that Infinity Stone, you know, and tap into it. But it's like, no, you want to meet the person of Holy Spirit because he has an advantage for you that you can't even fathom. We need the person of Holy Spirit, not the it of the Holy Spirit, not the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that it's like the whole package. When I married Krista, I didn't just get her good cooking. And I'm so thankful for her good cooking. But I got her fellowship. I got her warmth. I got her wisdom. I got her financial wisdom. Like there's so many things that I can look at that she carries. I didn't just ask for one thing. I got a whole package deal. Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a divine person of the Trinity that's part of the workforce that we co-labor with to get things done. And he's literally saying, listen, this advantage has to come because if this advantage doesn't come, you will not be able to do like John 14, I can do nothing of myself. If Jesus could say that, my goodness, we better start looking and going, Lord, how much am I doing on my own? Because the fruit is where he gets involved, Holy Spirit. I love it. I love it. I love it. I just want to, I hope I'm getting through that he's a person that we need to talk with on a daily basis. So we know, let's just jump over, finish this off in Acts. So let's go to Acts 4. Nope, sorry, Acts 2. Where do I want to go at? I've lost my spot here. Give me one second. Oh, sorry, Acts 2. I went too far. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, this is verse 1, they were with one accord. This is where he told them to go. He said, wait. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled. So they weren't, Holy Spirit didn't come upon them anymore. Holy Spirit filled them now, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave utterance. I love the fact that we moved from Holy Spirit hovering or Holy Spirit, you know, literally being upon someone to now Holy Spirit filling someone. And I really believe what happened in that moment, Jesus is gone. They're mourning the fact that he's gone, but Holy Spirit comes, they get filled up. And I have a hunch they were like, man, this feels like Jesus is with us. It's another helper. It's one like that one. It's one that feels very similar. Now I have a hunch they're like, man, this is what he was talking about. But it's not just one there or one there. He's on all of us simultaneously. Can you imagine what that must have felt like to be like, Jesus is over there and Jesus is over there now and he's over there now and he's over there and he's in the power of Holy Spirit. So the phenomenal thing is that it doesn't matter where you are in this world, what condition you're in, from prison cells to quarantine to all these different things, Holy Spirit is there. If you invite him, if you invite him. Now, here's what I'm learning. You could be, you can have Holy Spirit in you and still not access it. It'd be like having Krista live in the same house as me, but not accessing the friendship that she is, the cooking that she brings, the wisdom that she carries. I could have her there and refuse to access the gift that she is. What a shame that would be in a relationship if I don't literally access the friendship that she is, the wisdom, the beauty. It'd be like, no, we're married, but that's, I don't need anything else. What a shame. There is so much to Holy Spirit. All right, I got a few minutes left. I am so caught up right now, Rod, in this whole idea. I mentioned it last week. Turn quickly to Acts 4, and I mentioned it. We're not going to read the whole thing. That's why I had Acts 4 in my brain. I mentioned last week about Holy Spirit. And in verse 29, it says, now, this is where they were told they cannot preach about Jesus. And in verse 29, they're crying out together again. And it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they speak your word. And this is what I'm caught up with. Holy Spirit. And he says, by stretching out your hand to heal the sick and that signs and wonders may be done. Two things I love is the fact that they want to preach and they say, we want to speak your word by stretching out your hand. I just think those are awesome words. We want to preach your word by stretching out your hand. So often we want to preach 1,000 words and then maybe pray a little bit, but they're like, no. We want to speak your word by stretching out your hands and showing signs and wonders. But I'm caught up, and I got caught up this week at looking at the fact that it's, we want to stretch out your hand. And I thought, Lord, I need to understand this, and God is so faithful to show. I want to show you a few scriptures, and then I'll close it up. Turn with me. Again, I encourage you to put this in the chat, but Matthew 12, 28. I want to show you two different versions and help you understand why the disciples could actually say, stretching out your hand. And when you begin to see this, I began to found it throughout the Bible. Began to find it. That was really bad language. Matthew 12, 28 says, and this is where basically they are arguing and they're trying to confront him because they're like, you're casting out demons by Satan. And this is his rebuttal, but buried in the rebuttal is some interesting wording. Matthew 12, 28. And he says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's helping us out here with understanding in the future, you're going to have the Spirit of God. But he's like, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom has come upon you. So the first thing you need to make note of is that anything we do when it comes to the demonic realm is impossible in our own strength. Miracles are impossible in our own strength. But he is saying and helping us for the future, saying by the Spirit of God, this is how I do it, by the Spirit of God. Now, turn over to Luke 11:20 with me. This is the same story, but out of Luke, and I want you to understand and look at the wording of this. Luke 11:20, same story, same accusations. He words it so interesting, though. So Matthew 12:28 says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. Luke 11:20 says, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom have come upon you. Just stop and think for, he says, Matthew, if I cast out a demon with the Spirit of God, Luke describes him saying, if I cast out a demon with the finger of God, describing the Spirit of God. Then we got Acts 4, where they cry out because they are being persecuted and said, if you preach Jesus, you're going to go to prison. And they're like, we need boldness, we need to not fear, and we need Holy Spirit because we need to make sure that your glory shows up so things happen. And they say this crazy thing, Lord, we want to speak your word by stretching out your hand. I believe it's possible, Rod, that they had this understanding already going, you know what? He called it the finger of God. The Spirit of God is the hand of God. So when I stretch out my hand, I'm stretching out the Spirit of God to do the work of God. And I want to begin to say, Lord, clothe me with your Holy Spirit. So when I go somewhere, because I think if I'm honest sometimes, I'm praying hard because I realize, man, I don't know if my prayers are even working. I need to get out of myself and go, my prayers will never work. But Holy Spirit, the finger of God, the hand of God, would you move through me, my friend? Would you give me an upgrade in ability because I can't do anything? And would you move through me and heal this person, deliver this person? I believe we're heading into seasons where we're not going to be able to speak a whole lot anymore. If some things get passed, we're not going to be able to necessarily say a whole lot. But I believe that I really feel this. I believe the Holy Spirit, if we understand what he can do, we're actually going to begin to see more things happen without even having to speak a word and simply pray a prayer under our breath. Because that's where we have to go. You know, we get used to having long things and we got to pray a lot. But I believe if we will become friends with Holy Spirit and get an upgrade because he said, hey, it's to your advantage that you have Holy Spirit, that we can begin to, under our breath, pray things and we're going to see things shift instantly. I believe that's where we're going. So are you connecting? Holy Spirit, Matthew says, if I do it with the Spirit of God, that's when you know the kingdom's coming. Luke is saying, hey, it's the hand of God or the finger of God. And I want to show you one more thing, because when I looked at it, I thought, here it is in the Old Testament. Can you believe it? Turn to Exodus. When I was reading it, I thought, it is right there. Don't you love how the old mirrors the new? Foreshadows things to come. Exodus 15, verse 6. Actually, no, I want to back up. Exodus 14, let's start there, verses 15 and 16. Just quickly to tell you the story, this is the Exodus out of Egypt. This is where they're standing at the water, and they're like, Moses, why have you taken us out of Egypt? We at least could have, you know, been fed there. I know they were working us to death, but man, it was better than being here. You brought us out to make the desert a tomb. And they're just complaining. And Moses, this is starting at verse 13 of chapter 14. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he accomplished for you, for which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Man, that we could stay there. Right now, we need to hold our peace. And the Lord said to Moses, I love this. And the Lord says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Like they're standing in front of water. They are fearful. And he says, but lift up your rod and strength out of your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel should go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And he's like, why are you asking me to do something? And he's like, Moses, lift up your hand. I showed you all these times that I was going to move through you. Lift up your hand and do something. And that's just crazy. Moses, lift up your hand. Now, this is when I was reading. I thought, this is cool. This is Exodus 15, verses 6. They're now through the water because the water parts. They go through. They get through. The Egyptians get washed out and die. And they're singing a song. They are celebrating. They're busting a move. And Exodus 15, as they sing this song, they get to verse 6 and they say, "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." I love the fact that they're like, "Moses, put up your hand." He puts up their hand and they connect it and they're like, "That wasn't Moses' hand, apparently. That was the God's hand moving." Now you think that was one person that the Spirit fell upon, and now in the New Testament, he's like, "I want to fall on all of you. I want to fall on all of you like I moved through Moses." What I love is in Judges, when Gideon, when the Spirit comes upon him, it literally means that he put Gideon on like a glove, which means that whatever Spirit did, Gideon did, or whatever Gideon did, I suppose the Spirit did, one or the other. Like, there's all these understandings that he is like a hand putting us on like a glove. And so we need to realize in this hour, Holy Spirit is waiting and ready to fill needs that we have because he's a good friend. And Jesus was trying to say, this is an advantage if I leave, because you can't have Holy Spirit without me, because when I go, I'm going to make you right before God so Holy Spirit can fill you. And in this hour, we need a filling of Holy Spirit. So church, what does that look like? I go back to Genesis 1. If right now you are living in chaos and confusion and emptiness, you need to know that Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are there to bring your chaos and make it calm again, to bring your confusion and put peace upon you. If you are stuck in a place right now of emptiness and loneliness, did you know that you have the greatest friend that you can welcome? Was it Benny Hinn that wrote the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? You know, he understood that you every morning you can say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I welcome you. Good morning, Holy Spirit." And if we can begin to be disciplined, not spectators, but participants, to get up and begin to go, "Holy Spirit, I welcome you." I'll be honest, Rod, I don't do that every day. And if I do anything, I usually say hello to Jesus, and I'm like, man, I'm forgetting a friend that was given for our advantage. So I've made it a point to go, you know what? I got to start saying in the morning, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And not just like a ritual, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." No, when I'm doing my quiet time, I want to get to a place that I go, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Holy Spirit, you've come as an advantage into my life. And even right now, it would be good to say, Holy Spirit, forgive us for not being a friend with you. The very advantage that Jesus gave, we've not even always used. So Holy Spirit, would you be that advantage in my life right now when I'm alone and I'm lonely? I realize God gave me the word breakthrough. And it's funny, right, Rod? When you start seeing all the words now, because people will send you something like, "Oh, breakthrough's in there. Whew. I just got a word from Greg DeVries this morning. He wrote something to me and he said breakthrough this year." I'm like, yes, confirmation. But listen, I could go, "Breakthrough's coming. I'm waiting. But that's, Holy Spirit's like, no. If you do that, you're going to miss it. He's like, no, breakthrough's coming because the advantage that Jesus talked about is here. And if you will become friends with me to a level that you've not been friends, breakthrough will come. Doesn't mean it'll be easy. Help, Lord. But he does say that breakthrough is coming. So church, if you're struggling right now in that place, I encourage you to invite Holy Spirit and say, I'm so blessed, Holy Spirit, that you've been a friend in my life. But Holy Spirit, I need you to another level. Maybe you have a situation in your house right now and you need to stretch out your hand into a situation. You need to know that Holy Spirit, when you stretch out your hand, when you pray prayers, when he says, "Listen, why are you crying to me? Do something." It's not anymore that he's like, "You're on your own." He's like, "No, do something because I'm with you. I'm in you. I will stretch out my hand as you stretch out your hand." When you stretch out, parents, your hands over your kids and pray, and I encourage you in the mornings, lay your hands, fathers, on the kids' heads and bless them. Fill them and say, "Lord, do something inside of them today. Be wisdom inside of them when they do their test. Help them with their schoolwork because they're struggling." You are not stretching out your hand or just your hand. You are stretching out the Holy Spirit. The advantage has come and has never left us. You don't need to travel somewhere to get the words of wisdom. You can literally, in your quiet time, say, Holy Spirit, you are wisdom. And I'll probably talk about this next week. Holy Spirit, come and be the wisdom that I so desperately need. Amen. So, Father God, we bless you and we thank you that you have given us the advantage. Man, if you think like that, he's given us the advantage. If you go into it, it's Super Bowl Sunday. By the way, church, we transitioned into this building on Super Bowl Sunday. I transitioned into senior leadership or senior pastor on Super Bowl Sunday. So we are into Super Bowl Sundays, apparently. And, you know, I was just, as I'm praying, you know, if a team has an advantage, like if they have a 7-foot, 400-pound rock, they have an advantage. So do we. We have the rock. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you invade? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, may we get to know you on a level like nothing that we've experienced in 2021. And Lord, would you guard our hearts right now that we would not pursue you because you are the power, that we would not pursue you because of the advantage that you are. But Lord, we want to pursue you because you are a friend and you are a helper and you are a comforter and you are an intercessor and you are an advocate and you are a friend. And so, Holy Spirit, we want to pursue you as a friend, even as the disciples pursued Jesus as a friend. And Lord, I thank you, though, that with your friendship, you do come in dunamis power. You come to do the work within us because you are the worker of what God has as the architectural plans in heaven, that we get to work that out and we get to use you, Holy Spirit, with that advantage. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. I bless everyone today. Lord, I pray you bless their houses, bless their relationships, bless their families. I pray that you would move through them. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you into their houses because that is your promise that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.